highlighting the topics that affect agriculture nationwide. It's the AgNet Weekly with Sabrina Halverson, brought to you by AgNet Media. And now, here's this week's featured conversation.
This week, we're talking about prescribed fires, the protection they can bring, and the policies needed to improve implementation. Joining us on the phone is fire advisor and director of the University of California's Ag and Natural Resources Fire Network, Lania Quinn Davidson. I'm Sabrina Halverson. Let's get into this week's AgNet Weekly. Fire, of course, is extremely important as a topic in California, and we wanted to talk today about prescribed burns. Most of our listeners, I'm sure, know what a prescribed burn is or a controlled burn is, but would you please go ahead and give us the official definition of that?
Sure. Well, the way I like to think about prescribed fire, it's the intentional use of fire as a tool under really specific conditions to meet objectives that you've identified in advance. So it's really versatile. It can be used for a lot of different things, but that key component is really that you have a specific objective and that you've identified the conditions that you'll need to get to that objective.
Prescribed fires have been used in several ways in California, but let's talk about for vegetation management, which is crucial in our area. How can prescribed fire be used for that?
I love that you asked this question because I think often people think specifically just about fuels reduction for prescribed fire and, you know, burning up the leaves and the branches and the litter that can fuel future wildfire. But people use prescribed fire for all different forms of vegetation management, including range management, you know, managing for trying to get rid of invasive species, invasive grasses, things that are a problem for rangeland owners, for getting rid of brush that might be encroaching into woodlands or prairies. There are a lot of different ways that you can use fire to design for the specific plant communities that you want on the landscape.
What are some of the ecological benefits of using prescribed fire?
Yeah, well, if you think about a place like California, and actually this is common across much of the United States, many of our ecosystems are adapted to frequent fire. Fires historically would have burned in some of these places, like in a lot of parts of California, every 5 to 10 years. And for so long, we removed fire from these places. We took it out of the system. And I liken it to removing rain or removing sunshine, removing a really important natural process that regenerates plants, that releases nutrients into the soil, that maintains healthy forest densities, things like that. So by taking that out, we've had so many problems, including obviously increased wildfire risk, but also a lot of ecological impacts. And so bringing fire back in restores a lot of those benefits to the landscape. And of course, has a lot of cultural benefits too, whether you're a native person who has, you know, specific traditional connections to fire, or a rancher who's using it to manage for things that you need for your livelihood. There are just so many benefits.
On one hand, it seems counterintuitive to say, let's introduce fire to make things, you know, grow better or to protect from fire. But then on the other hand, it really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? How can the old saying, I'm going to throw it out there, fight fire with fire. Yeah. How can we fight fire with fire? You know, as we know, the wildfire situation in California is so tragic so often. So is there something we can do with prescribed fire to help on that front?
Absolutely. If we are able to implement more prescribed fire projects, we get to choose the time and the conditions under which those places are burning. So we can do it during really safe times of year. We can time it so the smoke's not as much of an issue for our communities. And then when fires come, and we know they will, right? We know that we will have future wildfire across most of California and across most of the Western US. When those fires come and they hit an area that's been recently burned with prescribed fire, they burn quite a lot differently. The fire behavior drops. It's a lot easier for crews to get in there and gain control. So prescribed fire gives you all kinds of advantages, not only immediately for whatever objective it is you're trying to work from, but also for the next 5 to 10 years of potential wildfire impacts.
Do you feel like, in your expert opinion, and I'm going to just completely put you on the spot here, in your expert opinion, are we as a state using it as effectively as we could be? Or are there ways that we could be improving our use of prescribed burns?
You know, there is a lot of attention directed at prescribed fire right now, and our state and federal agencies are really making strides at trying to do more and to implement more of these projects. There's also a huge movement within the community sector and the private sector to kind of reclaim this tool and to bring it back into the hands of landowners and ranchers and tribes and community members so that we can all play a role in it too. And that's a big part of the work that I do is really training, inspiring, empowering people to also have access to fire as a tool. You know, people in California have been burning for thousands of years, and it's only a more recent phenomenon that it's so highly professionalized and that the only folks who are using it are like the Forest Service and CAL FIRE and groups like that. So we're really trying to open it up, get more people involved, more people trained, more jobs in this line of work, inspiring young people to get more involved because there is a lot more we could be doing. We need to be implementing more projects and we need to be, you know, strategically placing those projects in places where they can have the most impact.
Are we in need of any policy changes? Do we have good policy already? Where are we at with that?
We have made some incredible strides in prescribed fire policy in California in just in the last 3 years. One of the big things that we did is implemented a state burn boss program. So this program was mandated by legislation back in 2018. And what it did is create a certification pathway for private people, whether they be landowners or private contractors or, you know, foresters, that they can gain certification to be able to plan and implement prescribed fire. And then with more recent policy changes, we've added liability protections for those folks. So we changed the liability standard in California to provide a gross negligence standard for fire suppression costs, which I know that sounds like a lot, but basically what it means is that if you're doing a burn and you're doing everything right and something weird happens and you need support from CAL FIRE to come in and help you get it under control, that you won't be billed for that. And that's a huge benefit for the prescribed fire community and really to incentivize more of this work. The other thing that we did that is truly monumental is that we developed a $20 million state-backed claims fund, which is kind of like a state-backed insurance fund for prescribed fire, so that private landowners, private burn bosses, cultural burners can basically get free insurance coverage for prescribed fire from the state and make sure that we're covering the liability in case anything goes wrong.
It's not something I would have thought of because I obviously don't go out and do prescribed fires myself, but it actually makes a lot of sense trying to promote this perfectly safe practice when done correctly. But, I'm sure it's not common. It's got to be rare that something, out of the normal happens and maybe something gets out of control and you have to call for backup from the fire department. I think if I were somebody who actually does perform these prescribed burns, that I had some protection in that situation would make me feel a lot better, just about using this method at all.
I mean, what I always say is that a lot of this policy work that we're doing is really about gaining comfort and managing our own perceived liability. We know that this practice is safe. We know that when we do it, we put so much planning into it. But weird things can happen. And, you know, if people are doing this work for public benefit, which they are, most of these prescribed fire projects are really targeting ecological and social values that we all care about. We need to provide protections and comfort for those folks. They're doing us all a service. So the policy work in recent years has been pretty innovative, and California is on the cutting edge of a lot of this prescribed fire policy work, which is really cool to see.
What about other states? Can we talk about other states?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I'm not real familiar with how prescribed fire is used in other states, but I do broadcast in several other
Oh,
areas. And
cool.
so if we can talk Michigan, Indiana, I don't know much, I say much, I don't know anything at all about prescribed fire in those areas. I know I don't see them on the news nearly as much suffering from wildfire problems as I do California. For people in those states, should they be thinking about prescribed fire for, again, for vegetation management, for land health?
Absolutely. Yeah, I work with people across the country who are using prescribed fire for various projects related to vegetation management or habitat restoration, fire risk reduction. And even in places like Michigan and Indiana and across the Great Plains and the southeastern US, there is a lot of interest in prescribed fire and a lot of people who use it. And so I recommend that if people are interested in learning more in those places, look into your statewide prescribed fire councils. I know that Michigan has a prescribed fire council. More than 30 states do. So this is definitely something that's nationwide, a lot of interest, a lot of movement, a lot of policy work going on, and opportunities for people to get involved.
Would you like to talk about the Southeast a little, or?
I mean, the Southeast is really a leader in prescribed fire. The Southeastern US has been the place where that cultural connection to prescribed fire was never lost in the same way that it was in the Western US. We in the Western US skipped generations where people weren't burning. We lost that knowledge and that skill. And in the Southeastern US, because of the nature of the forests that they have down there, forests like the longleaf pine that require fire every 1 to 2 years in order to stay healthy and to persist, people are much more connected with prescribed fire as a tool. Florida, for example, burns 2 million acres a year with prescribed fire, where in California, we are struggling to get 100,000 acres a year. So I do just want to highlight that a lot of the cool work that we've done in California has been inspired by other parts of the country. And I think it's important for us to be learning from each other and visiting those places and really talking to people about, the value of fire as a tool. So Florida in particular has been a big inspiration to me in my work in California, and so have the Great Plains. So places like Nebraska and Oklahoma, they have incredible prescribed fire programs. And many of those programs in the Great Plains are led by ranchers and farmers. And so the role of agriculturalists in prescribed fire work is notable and really something that I've tried to infuse into my work in California. So I work a lot with the California Cattlemen's Association. Those groups, they might not seem like obvious leaders in prescribed fire, but the more you talk with them, they've used fire for generations. Ranchers really are one of the original user groups of prescribed fire in California and across the country.
It's really interesting to me when you talk about the cultural connections, and then you talk about we've gone generations where we've kind of lost some of that knowledge. It's really interesting to me to think about that type of a connection to fire and to this technique of using it.
There's something so human about the use of fire. And I think this is one of the things I love about bringing people out on their first prescribed burn, is that they might go into it kind of scared or nervous or intimidated. And then pretty soon you just look over and they're smiling and they're like, this feels so natural somehow. Humans have always used fire. It's a very human practice. So there is a cultural connection there. And a lot of what the work that I do, we use that term culture. We're trying to inspire culture change around how we relate to fire. And I think we've really diverted so far from our natural tendency toward fire and our natural comfort with fire. And that's the source of a lot of the problems we're having in California. Our landscapes need fire, but we need it too. And so, how can we rebuild that connection?
If you'd like to hear more conversations like this one, make sure you hit that subscribe button. I'm Sabrina Halverson for the AgNet Weekly. Talk to you next week.
Continue the conversation online by following Sabrina Halverson on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. And get more agricultural news at southeastagnet.com and agnetwest.com. This has been the AgNet Weekly from AgNet Media. Thank you for tuning in.